John Kerry's suggestion that he might put off accepting the nomination set off much talk about breaking an American political tradition. But producer John McDonough believes that such a delay is not all that unprecedented. He's come by that belief after stories about political history on this program by two veteran CBS convention anchors, TV's Walter Cronkite and the late radio broadcaster Robert Trout.
Bob Trout would be shaking his head if he could hear all the angst caused by John Kerry's trial balloon. Don't they know, he'd say? That's the way it was always done. But the functions of political conventions have changed so much over the years that even veteran political pundits today can no longer tell a broken tradition from a recovered one. If Kerry does wait 3 or 4 weeks before accepting his nomination, it will restore an old convention ritual that stood for more than a century and was abandoned only as recently as the 1930s. Before then, active candidates usually avoided conventions. It was considered undignified. They stayed home and waited for the party to come to them. When it did, the convention would appoint a committee of party leaders who would formally advise the candidate of his selection. The nominee would then try to look surprised and humble at the same time and then make a formal acceptance speech, usually in his home state, several weeks after the nomination. It was a ritual of the 19th century when news traveled slowly. Like most rituals that become time-honored, it persisted longer than it needed to. Franklin Roosevelt might have honored it in 1932. He remained in Albany during the convention, and he listened to his nomination over the radio. Then he did something no one expected. He flew to Chicago the next day, went straight to the Chicago Stadium, and addressed the convention. It had never been done before, and he told the country why he was doing it now.
The appearance before a national convention of its nominee for president, to be formally notified of his selection, is unprecedented. But these are unprecedented and unusual times.
Unusual times that the entire country now experienced simultaneously through network radio. Roosevelt faced the reality of technology. He said he was breaking what he called the absurd tradition that the candidate should remain in professed ignorance of what has happened.
Let it be from now on the task of our party to break foolish traditions.
President Hoover had been nominated 2 weeks before, but would not accept until 5 weeks later. When FDR was renominated in 1936, he sort of continued the old tradition, but sort of didn't. Roosevelt's formal acceptance came the next day, after the convention adjourned, not to the convention, but before a huge party rally in Philadelphia. That was to be his famous Rendezvous with Destiny speech. By 1940, the tradition was all but dead. Roosevelt addressed the Democratic Convention from his home in Hyde Park. The Republicans nominated Wendell Willkie in 1940. He made a brief informal appearance before the convention on its last day, but he stopped short of a formal response.
I wanted to come here to you this afternoon not to discuss policies or principles, but merely to thank you, express my appreciation, and tell you of the deep sense of dedication that I feel to the cause that you've asked me to lead.
It wasn't an acceptance speech exactly, just an unofficial thank you. Reporters didn't know quite what to make of it.
Well, this is really an acceptance speech in a way, and it's the first one I ever saw that where the candidate dared to do it ad lib. That is, without any notes.
Willkie would make his formal reply several weeks later in Elwood, Indiana. But he would be the last nominee to do it that way. By 1944, the candidates' acceptance speeches were so solidly established as the climactic and unifying gestures of the conventions, no one seemed to remember it ever being otherwise. If Kerry does decide to postpone his acceptance speech this summer, it won't be in the name of 19th-century logistics, but 21st-century campaign finance. Whatever the lawyers, the managers, and the television networks decide, though, his suggestion is definitely not an act of revolution, but one of restoration. For NPR News, this is John McDonough.